Josie's going to do the Bible reading for us.
The Bible reading today is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9 from the NIV. The call of Abram. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev.
Let's pray. Lord, we sing the songs and you challenge us to trust and obey, and we don't find it easy. Lord, draw near to us this morning as we read and consider your word together. By your Spirit, strengthen our hearts, strengthen our commitment to you to trust and obey. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we begin, or I begin, a series on the life of Abraham. Don't know if you ever thought much about Abraham. I don't know how many sermons there will be in the series. I looked at it, I thought, well, this could go for 20 weeks, but perhaps not. I don't know how long it will last, and I may not stick to it every month when I'm speaking. But the story of Abraham is a wonderful story. And we can learn about a lot about God's purposes for mankind and how he deals with us. So today we begin with the call of Abraham, as he was known then, Abraham. We called it When God Calls. Of course, Abraham is not the first person we read about in Genesis. The story started with Adam and Eve and progresses on through Enoch and Noah and his family. Are these stories just random stories that somebody put down? What's God doing? What's his plan? Actually, God tells us right at the beginning, in the first chapter of the Bible, what his plan is. Okay, if I were to ask, I'm not going to ask you, but if I were to ask you, what's God's great plan? What would you say? Genesis 1, verse 26, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Then in the next verse he goes on, the scriptures goes on to say, so God made man in his image, male and female, he created them in his image. God's purpose, declared there right in chapter 1 of the Bible, God's purpose was to make mankind in his own image. to be like him. Now, an image, of course, is not full dimension. When you look at an image on a piece of paper, it's a two-dimensional representation of a three-dimensional object, right? You look at a picture on your passport, it's not you, it's just an image of you. So it's not exactly the same, but God's purpose is that when people look at us, they should see what God is like, an image of God. Wow, that's God's purpose, to make mankind in his own image. This was his purpose then at creation, and that's his purpose still. God knew, for he knows all things because he's not living in time and space as we are. He knew that this was not a trivial purpose. He knew that Adam and Eve would rebel and sin against him. They were not the final product of God's purpose. And in the Bible, all the way through, we have an account of how God has been working out his purpose from generation to generation, up until the time when his son, Jesus, entered into time and space, and then on through the generations since, up until now. And God is still working out his purpose to make mankind in his image. In fact, Paul says in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, I'll read them. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Then we come to the punchline. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. That's why Jesus came and lived and died, to make for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Now keep that in mind as we look at the life of Abraham. Now the background to this story of Abraham's call is found in the previous chapter, and particularly verse 27, where we read, this is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. Okay, that's just a bit of family history, but it's, in a sense, the beginning. That's the first mention of Abram. Then we read, Terah took his son, Abram, his grandson, Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, the wife of his son, Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Ur of the Chaldees, that's over there somewhere. I think of Babylonia, but that doesn't tell us very much, does it? Well, Iran, Persian Gulf, over there, quite some way away from Canaan to the east. And that's where Terah was living with his son, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Nahor died. But one day, Terah left Ur of the Chaldees and set out for Canaan. We don't know why. We don't know why he didn't keep on going to Canaan, but stopped at Haran. There's a lot we don't know. A lot, as we go through Scripture in our house groups, we often come saying, well, we don't know that, we don't know that. And if we were to start a list of the things that we don't know and say, well, we could find out one day. Well, when we get to find out and we get to meet with the Lord and say, okay, well, what did happen then? I'm not sure we'll be quite so interested anymore. I work on the principle that if we needed to know, then God would have made sure it was there in Scripture for us. If we're not told, then we don't need to know. So I don't worry my head. I find what is revealed, what is here, is quite enough for me to grapple with and try and grasp. What we do know is that God was at work in the life of this guy, Abram. But when his dad died, when Terah died, God spoke to Abram. That brings us to today's reading. We're told in some detail what the Lord said to Abram. How he said it? Sorry, I don't know. Maybe in a vision or a dream. My daughter was telling us yesterday that God spoke to her while she was in the shower and said something significant to her. God speaks to people in different ways. And I don't know how God spoke to Abraham in this time. We know later on he had visions, he had people come and meet with him. But in this case, I don't know. But Abraham heard what God had to say and it was significant for him. So let's look at what God said. First of all, there's a command. Go. It comes in chapter 12, verse 1. Thank you, Josie, for reading that. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Not much to go on, is there? Abraham was not given a map to follow, or even a compass to follow. He was told, leave everything and go. I'll show you later the rest. When God calls us, he's not looking to provide us with a rationale and a strategy of what to do. He has the rationale, he has the strategy. What he's looking for is obedience. Obedience based on faith. Trust and obey. What sort of faith do you think Abraham had? We think of Abraham as a great, Abraham as we know him now, as a great founder of religion, and three major religions look back to this Abraham. And we imagine that he must have known an awful lot about God. I'm not sure that he did. His background wouldn't have told him very much. He could have had little knowledge of God. The great revelations about God that came through Moses. Wow, what a revelation Moses had of God. And the prophets in the Old Testament. And the great revelation that came in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham didn't have any of that advantage. He just had a little bit. So his faith was a little bit. Faith does not have to be fully grown in order to step out in obedience to God. As we step out, then faith grows. Faith has to be just enough for obedience to the revealed command. Then it grows. Think here of Peter, the fisherman. And they see Jesus, or somebody, walking on the water as they're out in the boat. And not sure who it is. And I think it was John says to Peter, it's Jesus. And Peter calls out, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And what does Jesus say? He said, well, if you come, then the H2O will solidify temporarily. And it doesn't do any of that. He said, one word. What's the word? Come. That's all he says. Come. And Peter, he didn't say, oh, I need a bit more than that. What we read is, he got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. So his faith was just enough. We know it was only just enough because it didn't last very long. Because as he's walking out there on the water, he looks around and sees the waves and the wind and everything else. He says, oh, trouble, trouble, trouble. And he starts to sink. But at that point, when he steps out, his faith is just enough. And that's what the Lord looks to us for. He doesn't look for full-blown, complete faith. He looks for just enough to go forward. But actually, the command to Abraham didn't come just as a bold command to go. The command came with a promise. And that promise revealed God's plan and purpose. Let's look at the different bits of this promise. First of all, in that same verse, chapter 1. I will show you. God said, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I will show you. That was a promise. Before we get to the main part of the promise, which is 2 and 3, back in verse 1, just before the main big promise, God gives a little promise that's put in there. And he needed that. The others, all very well, the big promise. But that little promise, I will show you, was what Abraham needed in order to step out. Needed the assurance that God would guide him, would lead him, would show him what he needs to know. But then there is the big promise in verses 2 and 3. The big promise, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I could take 20 weeks, probably, on that two verses, but I'm not going to. Several parts to this promise, though. One part I looked at, I'll make you into a great nation, God said to Abraham. And then, I will bless you, I'll make your name great. Then he says, you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Complex, but really, as I looked at it, two main points came here. Number one, God is going to do something great for Abraham and his descendants. God is going to do something great. That's the first part. God is going to do something great for Abraham and his natural descendants. And then two, God is going to bring a blessing through Abraham to all people. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So that's this major promise. The blessing is for Abraham and his descendants, but it's not just for Abraham and his natural descendants. God had a purpose right from creation. And that purpose was, what was God's purpose? Right from creation. To make a people for himself, like him. Yeah, let us make man in our image. That was his purpose. And he's working it out here in the call of Abraham. To make a people for himself, a people in his own image, a people eager to do what is good. And he's working that purpose out now through us as we look to him. So Abraham went, as the writer to the Hebrews put it, by faith Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Hebrews 11. He obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. That's obedience. Verse 4, good. Abraham went by faith, not knowing where he was going, as the Lord had told him. That required faith. Obedience to God often requires faith. Now, I've thought a lot about that sentence. First time I wrote it, I wrote, obedience to God usually requires faith. And then I thought, perhaps it should read, obedience to God always requires faith. And I couldn't decide what was correct on that. So you can think about it. Maybe obedience to God always requires faith. Abraham obeyed in faith. Faith is a gift from God. When we act in obedience, trusting him, he has delight in our obedience. I have these pictures in my mind. I have this picture of God looking down at Abraham and giving him the command, and they're looking, and Abraham obeys. He goes out. And my picture of God at that point is, what have I put down? Come on, Abe, you're doing great. Just cheering him on, just delighting in the fact that Abraham moved out in faith, in obedience to God. Do you have pictures of God like that? I think very often he's cheering us on. I think he was cheering us on when Peter, when he stepped out on the water to walk on the water. He goes, come on, Pete, you can do it. Just trust me and come. And that woman who came to him for healing, and he wouldn't let her get away without being known and recognized. But he's cheering her on. And even when he said some hard things, I think it was the Syrophoenician woman, he said some hard things. She came for help. And he said, it's not right to take food from God's people, the Israelites, and give it to you foreigners. Oh, that's hard to hear. But he was cheering her on, saying, come on, you've got the faith. And she spoke in faith. Yes, but even the dogs get to eat what's under the table. She said, I'm desperate, and in faith I'm going to come and cling to you. So I don't think my pictures of God cheering on acts of faith and obedience is far off. Verses 6 and 7. Then there's worship. Well, actually, worship started with obedience based on faith. I'm afraid sometimes we get the wrong idea about worship, that we think of worship as something we come here to do on a Sunday morning. That's an expression of praise, but real worship is obedience to God. Real worship is when we hear his voice and step out in faith, and that's the worship that he's looking for. So Abraham went in obedience, and that itself was worship. But then we read verse 6. Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So he's moving on to Canaan, which is where his dad had set out to get to but never got there. But he's going to Canaan. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. An expansion of the promise. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. He built an altar there. That's worship. Yeah, obedience was worship, but building an altar was worship as well. An expression of worship. He built an altar to the Lord at Shechem. What did he do next? He built another altar. Verse 8. From there he went on towards the hill east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Abraham built quite a few altars in his life as he walked with God. And each altar was a declaration of worship and submission to God. No mention of a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, at either of those altars. It doesn't say he killed a sheep or a goat or whatever. He built an altar and worshipped there. Actually, the sacrifice may be more that he had obeyed. And that act of sacrifice in leaving his father's house, leaving his whole family, leaving everything he knew and stepping out, that was a sacrifice that he was offering to God. And that can be a costly sacrifice. Bethel mentioned there. Bethel means There's two parts. Beth, wherever that comes, house of. El, God. House of God. Bethel is house of God. I don't know if it was called Bethel before Abraham got there or not. I don't know. But certainly, Abraham recognized this to be God's place, God's house. And he felt at home there, at home with God. So what do we see in this section for us to learn from today? First of all, we have a reminder of God's purpose to make a people for himself. A people in his own image. And that's his desire for you and for me. That we would be shaped into his own image. That purpose hasn't changed from the beginning of creation right through to now. His purpose is the same. And the Apostle John reminds us, dear friends, now we are children of God. We're born again. We are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. We don't know how things are going to work out. But we know that when Christ appears, what? Anybody fill out the rest of that thing? When Christ appears,
we shall be like him.
That's God's purpose. Right from Genesis all the way through to make a people for himself, a people in his own image. When Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Doesn't that make you excited? I got quite excited when I was writing this and thinking over it in this past week. John is talking about us. When we see him, we shall be like him. Whether that's after we've shuffled off this mortal coil, or whether it's when he comes and we look up and see him in the sky. God working out his purpose. We are part of it. Secondly, we see God's instrument. A man with much less knowledge of God than we have. A man who hears God speaking to him and responds with faith and obedience. Is that you? Are you set to follow wherever the Lord leads? We've been singing about it this morning. Even when the way ahead is not clear, are you ready to be part of God's great plan to make a people for himself, like himself? God's purpose, God's instrument. Then we see God's worshipper, Abraham, who worshipped by obedience and sacrifice. Are you that sort of worshipper? John said, or John records that Jesus said, yet the time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. The Father is looking for worshippers, those who will worship him, trust and obey. That's the basis of worship. Abraham had a choice. He could choose to be part of God's plan and what God was doing, even though he didn't know very much about it. The choice was given to him. And we have the same choice. We can choose to be part of God's plan to create a people for himself, eager to do what is good, or not. So where are you? Let's pray. Lord, you know how fickle we are. The times we want to say, yes, I want to be part of what God is doing. And then we shy away and we shrink back. Oh, Lord, increase our faith for each one of us. So that as we move forward little by little, each act of obedience and submission, our faith will grow. Lord, thank you for this wonderful, great plan that you have to create a people for yourself in your image, eager to do what is good, like Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that you've included us in that. Lord, I pray for any here this morning who doubt whether that really applies to them or not. Oh, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you will so bother them that they don't have any rest until they come and find rest with you and peace with you, knowing that they are part of your plan and knowing salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.